I'm Jeff Watts. Welcome to OQ70. It's now thought that up to a third of older people have undetected reduced vision, and in most cases, this results from correctable problems such as refractive error or cataract. Recent research carried out at the Institute of Optometry has examined the use of vision screening to detect these correctable visual problems in the older population. The studies, conducted by Zara Jesser, Bruce Evans and David Thompson, were funded by the Thomas Pocklington Trust with additional support from the AMD Alliance UK. Here, Hugh Breakspear talks to two of the key investigators, Zara Jesser and Bruce Evans, about how they conducted the studies, what conditions they were looking for, and their results and conclusions. Hugh began by asking them why they think screening is important.
A recent literature review by Evans and Rowlands in 2004 indicated that up to one in three older people in the UK have a visual impairment, and this can easily be corrected with appropriate spectacles, and others have undetected cataracts. It's often assumed that older people that have vision loss will attend for eye examinations, so that these problems can be detected and dealt with appropriately. But for many older people, this assumption is wrong, and the literature review indicated that this is particularly true for people from ethnic minorities or those who may be suffering the effects of poverty. A lot of older patients are quite fearful of attending eye examinations, and others just accept a reduction in their vision as an inevitable consequence of ageing.
Why don't we just advertise the availability of and the importance of eye examinations instead of implementing a vision screening programme?
That's certainly one approach, and I think probably better publicity for optometric eye care would be valuable and would be useful. Having said that, there's a lot of advertisements on television and almost everywhere else for eye examinations, and yet still, as Zara said, we're finding that a lot of older people aren't really getting the message or certainly aren't acting on the message. So what we thought was that if we can't get older people to come to the optometric consulting room, then why not take the consulting room to the older people, take some basic tests out into the community, and with the goal really of trying to emphasise to people that eye care is appropriate for them, not to replace eye care with screening, but to make it clear to people that there were things that could be done and that they ought to see an optometrist to try and get the most out of their vision.
Isn't there a danger that they'll actually think that a screening check is exactly the same as a full eye exam? I've got a lot of diabetic patients who think that their yearly visit to the hospital for a diabetic photo is actually a full eye exam, and it takes a lot of encouragement to actually get them to come in for a full eye exam.
I think that's a really important point, and we were very aware of this right from the first notions about this research. What we look upon the screening as is not just a testing event, but also a communication event. And we look upon it as a way of communicating to older people that they need to have regular eye care. And part of the outcome of the vision screening is publicity on a one-to-one basis. So saying to this older person, we've done a basic screening test today, this is not the same as a full eye examination. It doesn't pick up things like glaucoma at all well. And using the screening event as a way of communicating to older people and reminding them that they ought to be going for regular eye examinations. So it's kind of a supplementary thing and not a replacement.
What conditions were you looking for?
The target conditions for this study were uncorrected refractive error and significant cataract. These conditions were chosen because, firstly, they have a high prevalence, and secondly, they are easily correctable. We also looked at the efficiency of the screener for detecting significant macular degeneration. And although this condition is not easily correctable, it is becoming increasingly treatable. So we thought that a vision screening tool ought to be able to detect macular problems.
What sort of screening tool did you use?
Our collaborator in this research, Professor David Thompson at City University, is very well known to the optometric community for his work on computerised programmes to assist optometrists. And one of David's many programmes is a vision screening programme that's been used with great success for children and also has been used for screening workers in the workplace. And David's recently developed this software further, and we're interested in using a slightly different battery of tests, but still using computerised screening to test older people. And also, we developed with David a flip chart vision screener, which is for areas where there might not be access to a computer, and is a very simple and rapid way of screening vision. Not quite as comprehensive as a computerised screener, but nonetheless a reasonable second best option.
So how would you screen for visual problems where it's not possible to use a computer-based vision screening check?
As Bruce mentioned, in the second phase of the study, the key tests from the computer vision screener were made available in a flip chart format, and this was evaluated alongside the computer screener. And in areas where it may not be appropriate to use a computer vision screener, it was found that the flip chart provided an efficient and easy way of screening for visual problems.
So how did you conduct the study?
We had two research studies. In the first one, we took David Thompson's computerised vision screener to test 180 older people in South London. And this screener in this stage had a full battery of tests in it, so quite a lot of tests. And the purpose of that first study was to find out which of those screening tests could be dropped. So all of the subjects had the screening and also had a gold standard eye examination. In the second study of 200 different older people, we used an abbreviated version of the computerised screener that had less tests in it than ones that we found to be most useful in the first study. And Zara carried out that with her colleagues who did the screening and also carried out a flip chart abbreviated vision screener on all 200 patients again and also gave those a full gold standard eye examination.
Now, this screening technique's intended primarily for older patients. How did the participants react to it? And did they find it easy to complete?
As part of the study, we had an evaluation form that all participants had to fill in, and all participants found the tests reasonable to do. The computer vision screener did not take longer than about 5 minutes, and the flip chart screener was even quicker. So on the whole, the reports that we had from the participants were extremely positive.
What did the gold standard eye exam include?
The gold standard eye examination included refraction, high contrast and low contrast visual acuity, cover test, fixation disparity, visual fields and tonometry, cataract grading using the LOX3 grading system, ophthalmoscopy, macular grading, and wherever it was possible, the GDX was also performed.
What information was given to participants after the study?
All participants were handed a copy of their prescription and also a list of optometric practices within the South London area that provided spectacles free of charge under the voucher scheme to all eligible patients.
One of the things that we looked at in this study was we surveyed the local practices to find out how many offered voucher value spectacles. And we used that phrase to describe spectacles whose cost was completely covered by the NHS voucher. And we found in South London about one in three practices didn't provide spectacles or weren't able to provide spectacles whose cost was completely covered by the voucher, which I think is an interesting finding. And it's something that we were quite surprised to find. There's not been a great deal of research looking at this in the past, and it's something we'd like to expand and look at a nationwide sample just to find out how easy it is for patients to get spectacles whose cost is covered by the voucher, and indeed whether the voucher is appropriate or whether the voucher ought to be increased to encourage optometrists to have spectacles whose cost is fully covered by that.
Yes, I think it's very difficult to actually provide a pair of specs for the voucher nowadays, especially in London and the South East,
yes,
when you look at running costs and practices and so on.
Absolutely, and I think that information needs to be fed back, really, you know, to the department, because it's something that the voucher value obviously needs to be economic if optometrists are going to and opticians are going to be able to use it.
How were the results analysed?
The sensitivity and the specificity of the screening tests for detecting correctable visual loss was calculated. The data was also evaluated from an optometric perspective, and that aimed to detect patients that either had reduced acuity or were overdue for an eye examination, regardless of whether or not they had significant lens opacities or uncorrected acuity. After that, various combinations of the tests were evaluated in order to determine which of the combinations achieved the best compromise between sensitivity and specificity for detecting correctable visual loss.
What were your main findings?
Well, as Zara said, our main target conditions were the correctable visual problems, so refractive errors and cataracts that are so easily corrected. And we found in the first study that 32% of the older people had significant cataract, and 39% had reduced vision from a refractive error. So readily correctable visual problems were very common. Altogether, 58% of the first sample had one of those two problems. And the computerized vision screener in that study was able to detect those conditions in about 80% of cases. Study 2 was broadly similar. Of the 200 participants that Zara looked at in the second study, 31% had significant cataracts, 30% had correctable refractive errors that weren't being properly corrected, and altogether 51% had at least one of these conditions. And in the second study, again, about 80% of these cases could be picked up very readily with the screening tools. We also found in this second study that 80% of cases of visual loss due to these problems or due to AMD could be detected with either of the screening tools. Really, in this country, one of the uses of vision screening is, if you like, to remind people who ought to be having an eye exam that they ought to be doing that. So from a pragmatic operational criterion, we asked very simply, how good are the screening tools at detecting patients who an optometrist might feel were in need of an eye examination? Either they're overdue for their annual check or they had reduced visual acuity. And we found that looking at it that way, the screening tools picked up 94% of patients who met those criteria. Where we knew that we'd have trouble really is with glaucoma, because glaucoma is hard to detect accurately in a routine eye exam. So screening tools are going to do worse looking at glaucoma. And we found, as we expected, that the screening tools only had really quite limited success at picking up glaucoma.
Which screening tool do you feel is best suited for vision screening?
Well, the results show that both the screening tools are effective at detecting correctable visual loss, and each of the screening tools has its own advantages and disadvantages. The computer screener would be better suited in a clinical environment, possibly as part of a formal vision screening program, for example, in a GP practice. On the other hand, the flip chart screener can be used in situations where computer screening may be too complex, either for the patient or for the person administering the screening, or where there may be logistical constraints on the use of computers. The flip chart screener would be better suited in the community or in individual residences. It could also be used in the developing countries where the cost of running a computerised screening programme may be too high.
So do you think vision screening is ethical, especially as it's not effective at detecting glaucoma or, I presume, other pathology that's present that isn't affecting vision?
I think it is, as long as great care is taken to make it very clear to patients that the screening event is in no way a replacement for an eye examination. We found patients realised that. I mean, the screening is so quick compared with an eye exam, and it's so different that patients really knew that what they were getting wasn't a sight test. The other beauty, really, particularly of David Thompson's computerised vision screening software, is that it will produce individualised reports for each patient. And of course, it will produce those in a font size that is appropriate for that patient's vision. And it will tell that patient, even if everything's okay with the screening, it never says you're okay. It says the screening's okay, therefore you just need to keep with your regular eye examinations with your optometrist. And then if it picks up a problem with them, then it really advises them quite strongly, you need to act on this, you need to get an eye examination sooner than you would have otherwise gone to your optometrist. So it should be really supplementing regular eye care and making sure that patients don't drop out of the system.
What potential uses do you see for the screening tools in the future?
We think there's several areas in which they could be useful. For example, Zara had great success in a community centre where a lot of older people were going regularly to have some socialising and to play cards and things like that. That was very successful there. Also, I think in falls clinics where patients go after they've had a fall for recuperation, that would be a wonderful place, I think, to screen people's vision and take that opportunity of hoping that we can reduce the risk of a second fall from any visual problem that may be there. Some GPs have shown interest in using this in their surgeries and having their nurses carry out screening. And we're currently interested in looking at the role of this in community housing, actually going into people's homes and testing their vision there.
What were your main conclusions from the study?
Our main conclusions really were that the message about eye care is not getting through to a significant body of older people. They still are not really perceiving that the advertisements about eye examinations relate to them, or they're not acting even if they do receive reminders about eye examinations. And I think anything we can do to make older people aware of the need of eye care as a part of their regular health checks is very valuable. And we think that screening has a role to play as simply one of the methods of improving awareness about eye care amongst older people.
Zara, Bruce and Hugh, thank you. And thanks also to Mitesh Amin, Hannah Sawyer and John Cooper, who assisted the research. Later in the programme, we'll also be hearing from David Thompson about his research into vision screening in children.